Father, I thank you, Lord, for our gathering this morning and afternoon as we gather together for fellowship around the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Praise the Lord. Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light to our lives today and gives us understanding in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Even so, let there be. There is nothing that is too hard for the Lord to do. And every knee and every situation and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God in our lives shall be brought down. Blessed be thy name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, pulling down strongholds and casting down imaginations. Well, our theme text is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We read this yesterday and there were some powerful, powerful reactions and contributions to the lesson yesterday. We're going to go into some deeper things today. For though I walk in the flesh, we walk in the flesh, he said. You know, well, because we have this body and everything, that doesn't mean that we're actually in the flesh. We're just walking in the flesh. We're not really in the flesh. Although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know, our warfare is spiritual. So you might think of this series also as spiritual warfare. So our warfare is spiritual. It's not carnal, but it's mighty. You know, the weapons of our warfare, they're mighty through God. They can achieve the pulling down of strongholds. We have weapons that can pull down strongholds. Hallelujah. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against. Not exactly above. Nothing can really be above, but, you know, we try to take the place of God in our lives and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when our own obedience is fulfilled. So we looked at some of the things that we got to do here. Have you ever seen where the demolition crew comes in to try to take down a skyscraper? I've often wondered, you know, how easily they can take those things down. I mean, something that might have taken months in building, even years, they can come in there and in moments and take that thing down and just crumble down. Well, every high thing and every stronghold, just like those towers, when they come down, they're going to come down. Anything that doesn't belong, we're going to dislodge them. Hallelujah. So we're going to be doing this series. And how do we do it? Well, by the word of God. If we got to understand the word of God. You know, this word, I said yesterday or the other day, we want this word to be so much a part of us that we are like the living, breathing word of God. The word bride. Everywhere we go, we are the word. You know, and, you know, we are thinking the word. We are breathing it even. We are speaking it all the time. And so all these things, the Lord is telling us to build us to that point. We talked about, you know, yesterday, a strong man that keeps his goods, that thinks that everything is in order until somebody stronger than him should come upon him. And what's the strategy of the person that's trying to spoil the spoiler? Well, you have to be stronger than him, number one. And then you've got to bind him, you know. And disarm him. That's the thing. Actually, disarm him. Praise the Lord. You got to disarm him. And then you spoil his goods. And the Lord gave Jeremiah a word that we read also yesterday. We want to build on that today. The Lord talked about the way and pattern in which Jeremiah should accomplish his purpose as a watchman. The Lord said to him, I've set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms. Well, you're there. And in the spirit realm, yes, you may not be a governor, a state governor, you may not be a mayor even, you may not be a president of anything, but in the spirit realm, you know, you have authority. Jesus said one time when he was standing before Pilate, he said, look, my kingdom is not of this world. If they were, well, you know, then my citizens would do this physical fight. And Pilate said, you are a king then, because you're talking of your kingdom. And Jesus said, well, thou sayest it. For this purpose I was born. Glory to God. You know, so we have a kingdom. And in that kingdom, you know, the way we operate in the kingdom is different, you know, than the physical kingdom that we are in right now. You may be living in the United States, in Canada, in UK, in Nigeria, you know, Cameroon, wherever other parts of the world that you are in. And they have their own ways of doing things. Anywhere you are, if you are a believer, a child of God, you have at least dual citizenship. You may have more. Some of us in the natural have dual citizenship. Maybe a citizen of United States and citizen of your country of nativity. But you are always a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And in that kingdom is a way that we operate. That's what God's telling Jeremiah here. There are some kingdoms and then there is the kingdom. You know, so there are kingdoms of this world, but then there is the kingdom. In the kingdom, God has given us power over the other kingdoms to do the following. To root out. How do we root out evil? Well, you let the light shine. So with this series, we're going to be looking at some antidotes, you know, for, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places. Rulers of the darkness of this world, you know. The principalities and powers. How do we combat them? What do you do when you enter into a dark room? I've often asked the question. The first thing you do by instinct, you don't even think about it. Instinctively, you're reaching for the light switch. You know, if you happen to know, if you are familiar with the layout of that room, you know exactly where the light is. You go toward it and you turn on the light. If you don't, yeah, you'll be groping in darkness. But that's what we do. The first thing is we must turn on the light. Now, that's one way, one powerful way of rooting out darkness. Is turn on the light. That's, you know, you turn on the light. Now, all of a sudden, it's no more dark. And Jesus said exactly that. He said in Matthew chapter 5, when he was preaching his powerful sermon on the mount, he said, you know, let your light so shine before men, verse 16, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. He also called them, you know, a few verses earlier, he called them the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In verse 13, he called them the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. But you got to make sure that the salt is, you know, still has its characteristics. If it loses its savor, it's of no good, Jesus said. And just cast it out after that. You are the light of the world, he said. Now, the light of the world. Now, this whole world, we know, according to Isaiah 60, is in gross darkness. But we must let our light shine. Arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Whereas the whole earth may be in gross darkness, the beauty, the glory of the Lord will be seen upon thee. You know, now, each one of us can be that point of light. And we are indeed, but we must let it shine. You know, it's a let it shine, you know. Because you can't light a candle, Jesus said, and put it under a bushel. Got to put it on a candlestick to give light to everyone in the house. And even if it's you don't have a candle, you have lights. You know, most homes, except for when you put a lamp on the table, even when you put a lamp on the table, you don't put it under the table. But most homes have their lights, you know, in the ceiling. It can shine down upon everything. So one way of getting rid of darkness is to root it up. Go to the bottom. I said yesterday that when you're, you know, cutting grass and you just cut it at the, you know, head, it can grow again, but you got to root it out from the root. You know, sometimes they talk about grassroots. Well, you got to get it out from the root. Root it out. So that's one thing that the Lord told Jeremiah. Root out the evil and the darkness. But how can you do it? You know, I mean, do you even have power to go against in the natural, the forces of evil that we see? No. But in the spiritual, yes. And so that's what we must understand, that we are not fighting in the natural. You got to root out. Then you got to pull down. You know, there are some strongholds that we need to pull down. And I will talk about one or two of them today. You know, and we pull down those strongholds, destroy them. I mean, this is, you take no prisoners, vanquish them completely, destroy, you know, throw it down, you know, crush it. It's not, you know, don't keep anything that's evil. Just finish it off. And then when you got a clean slate, then you build and you plant. You know, but you cannot sow among thorns. It's not going to work. You know, you cannot, sow in a field that is grown over with weeds. That's not going to work. You got to plow the place and get it ready. Break up that fallow ground, the scripture says. And there are some things we got to do to get ready before we build and we plant. Now, some of us, when we came into the kingdom, give our lives to Christ, as we call it, we did not get the proper teaching. So what happened was, you know, we have the wrong teaching, the wrong mindset, and we're trying to put this new wine into old wineskins or into old wine bottles, and it's not working. And it seems to work for a while, and then afterwards, the devil still brings all those things back. So there are some mistruths or, you know, some of the, what we might call, you know, belief systems that are dangerous and inaccurate for us in the kingdom, but, you know, some of our minds may still be embedded in these things. I want to talk about one that is very serious today, but I'm going to talk more about the antidote. You know, not so much. I mean, we can talk about darkness a little bit, but we got to talk about light even much more. You know, even when we are doing, you know, demonology, casting out devils and so on and so forth. I mean, when I was a young man, I grew up in those things. You know, I was always in fellowships from place to place. We were casting out devils. We were doing these things everywhere you go and all of these things and so forth. You know, so I learned quite a bit about it. But later on in life, I realized they're still there. We understand those things. You can still cast them out. But I want to give more attention to the things of light rather than always talking about the dark world. Some people spend a lot of time talking about the dark world, you know, versus talking about the things where God has freely given us victory in Christ. So, in that light, there is a stronghold that many people are dealing with. Some people call it generational curses. Well, it may actually be so, but not for those who are in the kingdom. So I want to explore that today, but not so much that. I want to show you generational blessings. That's how you combat this thought of generational curses. Now, many people, you know, even medical science tell you about these generational problems. They're kind of like generational diseases. It's in your genes. They ask you, you know, was there cancer in your family? Did your mother die of this? Did you have a sibling that died of that? It's like, yeah, so, you know, that was my mother. That was my father. Or that was my brother. That's not me. Hallelujah. They can't put that thing on me. I have never fallen victim to any of those things. Every time they ask me, I'm like, yeah, no, that was them. You know, doesn't matter whether my mom died of cancer or my father died of cancer or my brother had cancer or whatever. You know, what has that got to do with me? But science will tell you, you know, it's like a generation in the genes. You know, you can, you know, inherit these things. I tell you that. Well, people tell different things. Even in our culture, they tell you, culture where I come from, that there was a curse in your family. And, you know, women will always be like this. Children will always be like that. That's a curse. That is this. That is that. And, you know, people unconsciously, they live in those things. And you'll be surprised. They're believers. People even say they are spirit-filled. You know, they are still subject to all those things. Touch not, taste not, handle not, this and that and so forth. You know, because of all the stuff that's embedded even in our subconscious. Some of these belief systems and all kinds of stuff. And people even look to the scriptures sometimes in error and without reading all the rest of it and say, well, you know, even God said, people will say this, even God said that I will visit the sins of the fathers on the children for many generations. Maybe. But let's see the context in which God even said that before we go on to what God is really telling you and I today. Well, we see that in the book of as early as Exodus chapter 20, when Moses was getting instruction about the commandments that the Lord will give to the children of Israel. As early as that, you know, the Lord was telling them that I am a very jealous God. You will not bow down, shall have no other gods before me. And I'll make any graven images or any likeness in the thing heaven and so forth. You know, you shall not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth of the generations to them that hate me, but at the same time I show mercy to thousands that love me and keep my commandments. So people latch on to these third and fourth generation, but the Lord said it. But let's take a step back and let's see how what preceded, which one preceded the other. Now, in the garden, you know, all we heard about from the beginning initially was that we should inherit the nature of God. That was the first thing we heard about. So that preceded any other thing. Because in God's mind, let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion over everything. That was in the mind of God. So that preceded even when God would come back later and tell the man and say, look, of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of that one over there, don't mess with it. You know, because in the day that you do, you shall surely die. Even that one, that pronunciation was after, you know, the first pronunciation was be fruitful and multiply, you know, and subdue the earth. That was the first, you know, so, you know, the God's mind for us was for us to be fruitful, to be in his image, to multiply, to subdue. Hallelujah. You know, so that's number one. And then, but of course, God, because he knows all things, he also knew that he had to test the man for obedience and things like that, which after a while, they failed the test. And then the judgment passed upon them. But, you know, and the Lord brought the curse upon various things. Now, God didn't even curse the man. Some people don't know that, you know, because the man is born, I mean, created in the image of God. It's, you know, God couldn't really put a curse upon him. But the Lord did curse the ground for his sake. You know, he said, cursed at the, I mean, he's cursed is the land for thy sake. And, you know, you're going to sweat, you know, to eat of it. Well, the man really should be above the ground. You know, we don't need, you know, I mean, people are still living under that curse. Because they said, well, the man was cursed. No, not exactly. You know, the man, he inherited a curse on account of what the Lord said to the ground. What is it that thou hast done? He would say. Well, of course, the man said, well, the woman you gave me. Did this and he did that. You know, I mean, she did this and she did that. Well, what is this that I have done to the woman? Well, the serpent, she did this and he did that. Well, the Lord said to the serpent, put a curse on him. The Lord also said to the woman, this and this and this. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of the which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. The ground, not Adam. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it. Well, because the ground was cursed and you have to till the ground. Because remember, Adam was some kind of a gardener, you know. God put him in the garden to tend it. Then, you know, the labor, you know, it's going to be harder for you to get anything out of that ground. So that burden, the extra effort, the difficulty, the pain before you prosper kind of passed on Adam indirectly, you might say, but it was the ground that was cursed. But then, you know, people latch on to all those things. Well, we're going to debunk some of that. Of course, we know that, you know, Christ, the Bible says, let's deal with that right away, was made a curse for us, because cursed is everyone that hangs upon the tree. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law brought many curses to the people. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 15 all the way to the end, a lot of curses, you know, upon the people. They don't follow the ways of the Lord. They are disobedient. But, you know, those curses, number one, it should not be upon us, because the Lord has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse on our behalf. For cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. But why did he do it? So that the blessing of Abraham, now that's the part that I actually want to focus on today, how God instituted generational blessings, even much more so than the so-called generational curses. But let's take a look at the root that many people latch onto of the so-called generational curses. We've seen where God said, visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. He said that. We know that. But, and let's look at another place, a couple of places where he said that. Exodus 20 and 5 is one place, talking about he being a jealous God. You know, if you, you know, choose anything above me, the Lord said, I'm going to be very, very jealous. And I'm going to visit the sins upon even generations to come. Well, that's people, that's to people that choose people above the Lord. Or anything above the Lord, you know, that's not really to everybody that's, or anybody that's walking in the light and honoring the Lord as their chief joy. Now, furthermore, in the book of Exodus, when God would declare his name to Moses, which Moses said, show me thy ways that I may know thee, and etc. In Exodus chapter 34, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, verse 5, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. Let's see the things that the Lord said about himself. Merciful and gracious. He said that first. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He said that. Next, keeping mercy for thousands, he said that following, forgiving iniquity and transgression. I mean, that's about five different great, gracious attributes of the Lord that he put forth first, right? But then he also, because he's a righteous God, he also talked about the severity as well. You know, if you align yourself with his will, then you enjoy, you know, the goodness of the Lord. We know the goodness and severity of the Lord. Romans 11 tells us. But here we see his goodness is put forward first. His mercy and his forgiving iniquity and transgression. But I will by no means clear the guilty, he said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon children's children, to third and fourth generation. And so people have latched on these for years. Even in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses was repeating a more verbose version of the commandments. And he repeated the same thing to the people. I am the Lord, you know, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no graven image of anything or any likeness in heaven or in earth or anywhere. You know, shall not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. I am the Lord thy God. I am a jealous God. I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the third and fourth generation, you know, and showing mercy unto thousands that love me and keep my commandments. Well, whenever time you're thinking of the visiting iniquity, don't forget the mercy of the Lord. But again, I say that was then. But let's fast forward. After a while, the Lord actually saw that people were sinking, you know, they were in sinking sands with this whole, oh, you know, the Lord is visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children. They were in sinking sand with that for a long time. So God had to come back and deal with it. He dealt with it in Jeremiah 31 and verse 29. And he dealt with it also in Ezekiel. You know, let's read the places where he dealt with it. It's been a long time that people have sunk into that darkness of, oh, you know, what the fathers did is what we are now reaping and so on. Okay. And they did, actually. It was true for a long time. But here's what the Lord actually said. So let's read from verse 27, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass, right? So I watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict because of all their disobedience. Now, also, I will watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. Just the same thing like God told Jeremiah at the beginning. You know, God dealt with them that way too. He plucked them up, he threw them down, he broke them down, he destroyed them, afflicted them, gave them to their enemies because of their disobedience. And because they were a stiff-necked nation according to the Lord. But the Lord said, in those days, they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. I mean, why in the world is something that happened to my father years ago that he did that I have no knowledge about? Why am I the one that's paying for it now? Was my father that ate sour grapes? Why are my own teeth now set on edge? I mean, I'm not the one that ate the sour grapes, but you know, generationally, people have dealt with that. They sunk into that, you know, it's like, you know, quagmire. They were just there. They couldn't get out of it. And the Lord said, enough of that. You know, you're not going to say this anymore. But everyone will have to deal with his own sins. Every man that eats the sour grapes, his own teeth shall be set on edge, not his children's. So God put an end to that right there. But people are still living in this thing. Well, by the mouth of two witnesses or more, let every truth be established. He comes out in Ezekiel and deals with the same thing. In Ezekiel chapter 18, God will deal with the same thing. Because they themselves, at that time too, you know, they were always in that sunken state as well. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, it's Ezekiel chapter 18, what mean ye that use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? And this is the way they found themselves for generations. And the Lord said, as I live, saith the Lord. That's like God is swearing now on his own name, on his own self, on his own self-existence. As I live, as long as I live. Hallelujah. You know, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. You are done with it. Praise the Lord. You know, the souls of the father are mine. The souls of the son is mine. It is the soul that's in it. That is the soul that's going to die. No more, you know, curse of the father over the children and so on. But people didn't remember that God abolished this thing. There's a lot of things that God abolished that people don't remember. We latch on to, in our belief system, we latch on to the evil things because we like to see God as this fearful God. You know, and well, of course, our God is a consuming fire, no doubt, but he only consumes evil. He cannot consume himself. We are him. We are part of him. He's not going to consume us. So, you know, but people forget that, you know, and so sink into that, sink into that. But let me blow this thing right out of the water, so to speak. I mean, let me just knock it out of the park and let's debunk it right away and tell you what God has in mind for us now is what I call generational blessings. This is how you pull down the stronghold of generational curses. You know, okay, well, this thing was in your family, and so it's in your family now. Your father was like this, therefore you will be like this. Your mother was like that, that's why you are like this. You know, a lot of people are like that. And devil takes advantage of it. And there's a lot of people too that take advantage of it. You know, they call themselves, you know, deliverance ministers, psychologists and whatever, how to deal with your past and all these things. Well, I know a lot of those things, but they are not accurate. Some of it might be, there might be some truth there, but it's not completely accurate. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And you don't preach the whole truth. You bring a little poison in there. And the whole thing is poison. You know, you take three measures of meal and you take one little leaven and you mix it in there and then the whole thing is mixed up. And this is a great leaven that has been mixed up generations. People forgot that Christ came that he might destroy the works of the devil and also deliver us from the curse of the law. You know, he did that, and we forget, and we're still sunking down into that stuff. But let's deal with what God would rather have us inherit. We're called to inherit a blessing, not a curse. Now, some people would rather inherit a curse, and unfortunately, you know, because that's the way they think, well, that's what they inherit. But if you would rethink, you know, rethink what God is saying to us, you know, because we are called to inherit a blessing. There must be a mind shift from the generational curses to generational blessings. And I want to talk about it. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:9 that we are called to inherit a blessing. You know, and we're not called to inherit evil. We are called to inherit a blessing. And it's the blessing of Abraham that might pass on all generations. What was the blessing of Abraham? Let's see how God passed it down. in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, where God began to call Abraham. He gave him some. Now, remember, Abraham was just minding his business, but God called him and imputed greatness upon him. The people in the previous chapter in Genesis 11, they were trying to be great, build a tower to heaven, and God destroyed them, the works of their hands, and scattered them. But this man, in the next chapter, was not doing any such thing. He was just minding himself. Didn't know too much about the Lord, really, at first. Lived it among unbelievers, and so on. But God handpicked him. And he said, this is the man. I'm going to make you great. So, right there, you see greatness is from the Lord. It's not because you want to be great. God is the one that make great. The Lord said to him, Genesis chapter 12, I will make you great. Hallelujah. And then from that point on, you know, God began to put blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon this man. And I blessed him and blessed a lot of things about him. You know, I make you a great nation and I will bless thee. I make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is what we call the blessing of Abraham. All families inherit this blessing because God said it. He just said it. And so that's it. And from that point on, the Lord began to, from the time that he was 75 years old, we're told that he departed out of Haran. And God began to bless, put this blessing into his lineage. Even though he didn't even see the chosen seed for 25 years later, that blessing was there. Well, let's see how, you know, that, you know, God, not only did he destroy the curse, you know, but he brought the blessing to us. You know, we've read Galatians 3, 13 to 14, where Jesus destroyed the curse. Today, we want to talk more about generational blessings, your spiritual heritage, rather than the generational curses, which is the one that people sink themselves into. Now, let me say right away that we have said, people have said, and it is correct, that God doesn't deal with us as though we were grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. We are all his children. If your father was his child, you are not his grandchild. You are still his child. Your children are also his children. They are not his grandchildren. You know, God does not have relationship of grandchildren. All he has is relationship of sons and daughters, no matter how many generations in between. 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 generations, they are still children, not grand, great, grand, great, 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 grand. No such thing with God. So God deals with us. However, the stream of blessing. Listen to this. The stream of blessing. God passes it. Not the relationship of sonship. But the saints, the stream of blessing. God passes it from generation to generation. And we're going to look at it, you know, and see what it says. Now, the scripture is full of generational blessings. But unfortunately, you know, the people choose to focus much more on this stronghold, you know, which is generational curses. And when you have that mindset, and then puts you into a lot of places, bad places. The Lord has put his blessing and he has commanded that blessing to pass from his chosen, you know, to their children and their generations after that. We're going to see that from the scriptures. I want you to understand this because this is a stronghold. This generational curse thing is a big stronghold, you know. Today, what we need to be thinking of is I have a goodly heritage. Psalm 16 and verse 6. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant place. You have a goodly heritage, not a cursed heritage. It doesn't matter where, what happened before you were born. You know, that was all good until the day you came into the kingdom of God, until the day you came into Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, any man be in Christ. Now, if you are not in Christ, of course, all that stuff is upon you still. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, generational curses, all these strongholds have passed away. Tokens of liars. And I'll be talking about that in this series. Because that is how the devil keeps people down in chains. Tokens of liars. You know? I'll explain even what that means later. The blessing that God wants us to have is a goodly heritage. Say to yourself, like the psalmist said in Psalm 16, say to yourself, well, I am the blessed of the Lord, and I have a goodly heritage. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Don't think of, nature or this or life has dealt me an evil hand. I've inherited this bad trait or this bad, some people even call it bad luck, bad this, bad genes or whatever, whatever. You know, that was then, but this is now. Now in the kingdom, Christ has abolished all of those things, and you now have pleasantness from the Lord. The lines, the generational lines, you know, are now pleasant. I'm not in any of that stuff. What is that? What's my concern with what happened hundreds of years ago? I don't know. The only thing I know is, similarly, hundreds of years ago, Christ paid for that and put an end to it. And so I am no longer connected. Jesus, you know, broke that connection. So I'm now, Jesus disinherited us from all that stuff, you know, and now put us in the kingdom of his dear son, God did. And now we have the privilege to inherit the blessing rather than the curses. Let's see how God transferred these generational blessings through the scriptures. First, there was Abraham. Then there was Isaac. Then there was Jacob. And then there was David. Then there was Solomon. I mean, all of how God just blesses people throughout the scriptures to lay a foundation. Now, once Christ came, you know, the Bible says, who shall declare his generation? You know, we're not exactly now anymore, even in the generation of Adam and Abraham and all of these things. That was until Christ. When Christ came, we're now in the generation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15, the families in heaven and in earth, they are not named by Abraham anymore. They are not named by Isaac. They are not named by Jacob. They are not named by even Enoch that hasn't died, that is there. They are named after Christ. The moment that Christ came, everything changed. Everything. All things are now named after Christ. Even history is numbered after Christ. Is either BC before Christ or AD. I mean, everything. Christ is now the center of it all. Has always been, even before the world began. But now, more so, at the end of the age, we see that he has taken, you know, that position again. It's the center of everything. We are now in Christ. We're not in Adam. We're not even in Abraham. We're not even, you know, even in Isaac. Because at first, we even thought that the blessing would come through Isaac. And that was the way we thought. you know. But the scriptures would later explain to us that there is, was a switch that God did at the cross. He switched it, praise the Lord. Whereas we used to talk about, oh, the blessing of God through Abraham came by Isaac. Well, that was true. But look at the way in the epistles, how Peter, I mean Paul, by the Holy Spirit, brought this revelation and clarified it. Well, let's read Galatians 3. This same place where it was talking about the curse is removed and so on. Let's read it a little bit further. And then we can get the complete understanding. In Genesis chapter 3, I mean, son of Genesis, Galatians chapter 3, we see where it's talking about Christ, you know, redeemed us from the curse of the law, be made a curse for us, for it is written, curse everyone and hang upon the tree, and so forth. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, not through Isaac anymore, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it is but a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no man disannulleth or added unto. Now, to Abraham, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And so, Paul, by the Spirit, is now going to explain the switch. It says, and he did not say, he said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, up until that time, we thought the blessing was through Isaac. You know, but he now switched it. All the generations from Abraham, you know, to this and that, David, this and that, and from David to Christ. And that's how the Lord brought the lineage to Christ, and he switched the blessing from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and everything, all the way down, but it's now is now coming to us through Christ. He said the seed is Christ, not Isaac and not Jacob anymore. Now, this is very important. So let me read Matthew chapter 1, so that we understand the generation of Christ. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, said the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Right? So God is going to trace him down from Abraham. That's cool. But let's see it. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob, etc. And then we traced it all the way down. You know, so finally, you know, in verse 16, he said, you know, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, which was born of Jesus, who is called the Christ. So then, see, this is how God now switches it and focuses on the generation of Christ. So then all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And one day I will bring out the revelation about these things. 14 generations from Abraham to David. Then from David unto the carrying away Babylon, 14 generations. That's a lesson in that as well. And then from the carrying away unto Babylon, unto Christ, was 14 generations. And when he got to Christ, that's it. That's the end of it. He switched everything and brought it right back to Christ. But let's see how he did it. I'm going to summarize it briefly. We'll go into depth later in the week by the grace of God. You know, starting with Abraham. You know, in Genesis chapter 17, now, from Genesis 12, 13, 15, and so on, God was dealing with him. But let's see what he said to him in Genesis 17 and how this will pass on and on and on. In Genesis 17, let's read from verse 4. As for me, the Lord said, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. So that's how God is tying it, you know, passing it through the nations. Neither shall thy name be called Abraham anymore, but thy name shall not be Abraham, for a father of nations will be as what I have made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come of thee, and I will establish my covenant. Now, this is God. God's doing all of it. Abraham didn't do anything. I will establish my covenant between thee and me and thy seed. This is how God introduced that generational blessing to thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. And I'll be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Now, so God is introducing, even here, you know, this is way before, you know, visiting the father's sins to the sins of the children for three generations. This one is way before that. God put a blessing in Abraham down through the line. You, your seed, and their generations after them. You can call this the beginning of the generational blessings. This is way before Exodus. At least 400 years happened between this one and that. So, just like Paul was arguing, he said, look, this blessing that was there before the law that came 400 years later and brought the curse with it, cannot abolish the blessing. Just 400 years before. And this is the blessing. So the generational blessings were way before the so-called visiting father's iniquity upon children's generational curses. So way before that. This is where God established it. Well, as if that was not enough, let's take a look at, now this was, he was speaking to Abraham here. Well, let's take a look at what he spoke to Isaac when Isaac finally came. Now, God would repeat this same thing just to make sure that these people didn't forget what God said. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 26. You know, there was famine in the land at that first and so forth. And, you know, Isaac went on to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, to dwell there in Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him. That's Isaac, not Abraham now. This is now Isaac. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land where I shall tell thee of. And sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed. Now, this is the same promise he gave to Abraham. Now, he is now telling it to Isaac. Unto thee and to thy seed will I give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto thy father Abraham. Well, what was that oath? I will greatly multiply thee as the stars of heaven. Give unto thy seed. Now, the same thing he said to Abraham. Transferring now to Isaac. This is all before generational curses, ladies and gentlemen. I will make thy seed multiply as the stars of heaven, thy seed all these nations, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? That's a key thing here that I want to underscore. Because, see, that Abraham obeyed my voice. And Romans was arguing, he said, look, through one man's disobedience, sin entered into the world. Likewise, through one man's obedience, life came back to the world. Well, through one man's obedience, Abraham, this was way before the generational curses, God put this generational blessing smack down. Said, I will bless you because your father, Abraham, obeyed my voice. Hallelujah. And he kept my statutes and he kept my laws. And so Isaac, he dwelt there. Now that was to Isaac. Well, what about Jacob, which was next in line? Well, let's read Genesis chapter 28 and see how God passed this thing along. You know, so in Genesis chapter 28, we read from verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba toward Haran, and lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down to sleep. And he dreamed. And below, behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And at the top of it, it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, now God used to speak to them by dreams. We covered that before. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. Now he's introducing himself to this man. Now, see how he's bringing in generation. Abraham, and now Isaac, your father, and now I'll be your God as well. You know, the land which thou liest in and which I will give thee, I will give to thee and to thy seed. He's repeating the same thing. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Same thing he said to the others. And they shall spread above to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south, and so forth. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be. He has repeated it. He said it to Abraham. He said it to Isaac. He's now saying it to Jacob. And he said, I am with thee. Keep thee in all the places. I will never leave you. Hallelujah. Until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You know, and why? God gave the secret to Isaac. Because your father Abraham obeyed me. Therefore I passed the blessing unto you. And then he took it from Isaac and passed it unto Jacob. And down through the line. And when we got to Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy, he stopped it right there. There was no genealogies mentioned after Christ. From Abraham, trace it all the way down to Christ, and that's it. That's why the Bible says, who shall declare the generation of the Lord? I am declaring to you, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the generation of Christ right here. We are the generation of Christ. And the blessing is coming to us. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, I'm going to say this and close this here. We'll continue this concept throughout the week because it's very deep. In Isaiah chapter 53, you read the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the Christ. This is how God is going to make the switch. You know, and Isaiah would prophesy about it here. There's something that Christ is not going to make this switch just for free like that. He's going to pay a heavy price for it. You know, because the thing that Adam did was very, very, very heavy, to lose the glory of God like that. And Christ is going to have to pay seriously for this thing, for the redemption. But he was oppressed and he was afflicted. We know that. Surely, as born our griefs and sorrows. He's despised, a man of sorrows, rejected, afflicted, all these things. We did not even esteem him. So let me read it to you from verse 4. Surely, as born our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But it wasn't for his own sins But he was wounded for our transgression. He's going to pay a heavy price. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace. We read this the other day. It was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all. Christ became darkness. He became sin. And God even forsook him. Because of you. Going to pay a very heavy price for this switch. You know, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He brought as a lamb to the slaughter and his sheep before sure as his term, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Well, Matthew declared it, and we are declaring it now. The genealogies, God counted it all down. He forgot about Abraham and all these people. Adam and all these people, but he picked Abraham from Abraham down to Christ, and he stopped right there. That's it. Now, so if he stopped in Christ, then we need to see the things that are connected for us from God to us through Christ. And forget about all the other things. Christ took away the curse, and the blessing is now with us. We're going to continue to show you later on how this blessing transferred, you know, to others because of what God said in Abraham. And I transferred it all the way down to Christ. And now in Christ, God had dismissed all the previous. Jesus said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, you know, dismiss them. So now, we're dealing with Christ. So all those things that was said before, fathers eating grapes, sour grapes at Judas edge, Jesus set on edge, dismissed in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, let me say one thing here. We will dwell on this later on. The blessing, this generational blessing that I'm talking about is automatically. Listen to that. Is automatically passed on to the children. That's right. Because of the righteousness of the Father. However, listen to this. It's automatic. But however, for the blessing to remain upon the children, they themselves must walk in God's ways. It's automatically passed on. But they can lose it if they don't walk in God's ways. Now, the children don't need to pray that the blessing of the Father come on there. It's automatic. That's why God put in the mouth of the Father to put a blessing on their children. It's automatic already. And if you understand it, you just pass it on to your children. Now, but for them to be able to retain it, it's up to them to walk in God's ways. It's automatic. God's blessing was automatic from Abraham to Isaac. It was automatic from Isaac to Jacob. Now, it all fell apart in Jacob because, you know, the people did not keep his ways. You know, and it fell apart for generations and centuries until Christ came. Hallelujah. And when Christ came, did away with all of that and established a new lineage, a new generation, even a new priesthood, a new everything. Established it. Praise God. So we'll talk about that some more, but I wanted to debunk that stronghold of generational curses. It's one of the biggest strongholds that we deal with. People think bad things are happening to them because of something their father did, or great-great-grandfather did, or all of that, you know. Maybe so, if you are not in Christ. And even when you are in Christ, if you don't know who you are, and what God has done and freely given you, the devil will still be cheating you of all those blessings of God and making you to sink back into the so-called generational curses. Now, because of time, I'm going to leave it there for today. We'll come back and deal with, as you can see, this lesson is going to be so deep and perhaps even so broad, but there are many blessings. And when we get to children, we're going to show you how children are also blessed, how your children are blessed. Praise God. I'm going to show you scriptures that tell you that your children are blessed because they are your children. They're already blessed. Now, however, there's a responsibility on them to how to retain that blessing. Praise God. And it's on us, fathers and parents. If you're a single mother, then you have that responsibility as well. Or if you're a mother in a house and the father is not doing the right thing, you can step into that role as well. But the parent, the mother, as everybody, the father, mother, in Christ, in a family of Christ, the blessing passes on to the children. And so the parents must speak that blessing over their children. Don't ever say any evil thing, negative thing over your children. I don't care how rebellious, how stiff-necked they might be. Don't ever call them anything but the blessed of the Lord. You call them that. They're the blessed of the Lord. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. He blesses us with those and we bless them. The generations of the Lord are blessed already. But they have a responsibility to walk in his ways to keep the blessing. I'm going to pray over the room and leave it there for reactions. And don't go away after today because we have not even finished or not even close to the end of this discovery or unveilings that we are going to bring out. So many strongholds that we have to pull down. Today we're pulling down the stronghold of generational curses and dismissing them by the scriptures, and to show that there is actually generational blessings that preceded that. Hallelujah. And, you know, remember what the scripture says, that the law that came 400 years afterwards, you know, cannot, you know, dismiss the blessing that was before. In this same Galatians, chapter 3, God, you know, was talking about it through Paul. If I read it further, you will read that in verse 17, he says, "This I say unto you, that the covenant which was before confirmed in of God in Christ, the law that came 430 years after cannot disannul to make the generational blessings of non-effect because of curses that came from the law." So we will develop that concept even more. The blessing came first. And that was 430 years later that the curse came. So the curse that came because of the law cannot dismiss the blessing that came before. Hallelujah. And to make sure, because people are still battling with that, Christ came and dealt with it. You know, he even went and set people free who are in bondage, you know. Bondage. After he died, he went to prison, set them free. You know, so we have broken all that, shattered all that, and dismissed all that. Praise God. I pray that the Lord will give us more understanding as we have time to go into the series later on. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this great work of dismissal that Christ did to dismiss all the works of darkness and replace it, taking us from the kingdom of darkness, putting us the glorious liberty of his Son. And today we are free. And be ye no longer entangled, the scripture says, with the yokes of bondage and this kind of strongholds. I declare that our minds are clear and our minds are set free. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the lines are falling onto each of us. Pleasant places. Have a goodly heritage. My lineage is from Christ, not from the curse of the law. Jesus already abolished that. Praise God. Now unto him that is able to give us understanding, unto him that is able to establish his truth in our hearts, unto him be praise and glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.